Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, hello, I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God again on Keys of the Kingdom. And we're talking about the Word of God and what it really means. And it's rather disconcerting for many. We're iconoclastic here. We're going to tear down the walls that have been built between you and the true Word of God. The walls have been built of lies and deceptions and twisting little amounts of the Word so that you think you're saved and you're not. That you think you're doing the will of God and you're actually doing contrary to the will of God. Isn't that what evil would want you to do? We actually live in a battlefield between two worlds. And in that world, there is evil that wants to deceive and devour you and take your life to feed itself. In order to do that, you must put on the character of evil. You must devour others. Isn't that what, if you were joining the mafia and the mafia wanted to control and manipulate and even kill people in order to get their get an army of people that were loyal to them, the first thing they want you to do is do the wickedness that they do. They would want you to kill somebody. They would want you to do something evil. Once they got you to do something evil on their behalf, then you were a part of the club. And that's what they do. They want you to covet your neighbor's goods. They didn't start necessarily with the first commandment, although they did, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth, although they got you killing pretty regular now. Millions of unborn children are killed. People in other countries are killed by the millions, blown apart and destroyed. They got you doing that. They got you sitting idly by and letting it happen, paying into it and making it happen. And that's exactly what they said in 1 Samuel, that when you elected this leader who could exercise authority to fight your battles for you and to protect you, rather than come together and protect one another, you wanted somebody else to do it for you. So you elected your Saul, the voice of the people elected Saul. God said, you know what he's going to do? He's going to make his instruments of war, and he's going to take your sons and make them run before his chariots. That's exactly what he's done. He says he was going to take the first fruits of your labor. That's what he's doing. This whole description of taking, and even taking your daughters, which is what he's done. This is what's happened everywhere in the world. That's what's happening. That's where you're at. And that was called a rejection of God. So what are you going to do about it? How are you going to do something different? What are you going to do that would be different? That's what he's been telling us in the Bible, in the Word of God. He's telling us what we can do that's different. He tells you that you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. When have we have not heard of wars and rumors of war? We've already had two world wars. And these little wars that we're having now, we drop more ordnance in Iraq from the United States, which is just one government. There were all kinds of governments involved, wasn't just the United States, although the bill was mostly picked up by the United States. More ordnance in that little tiny country about the size of Texas than we dropped during World War II. And they weren't all smart bombs. Sometimes they were really stupid bombs and they killed the wrong people. We're talking millions have died in that country. Millions have died in that country. And yet we know that country was a dictatorship ruled by a man of power. Yet we are killing the people. Every day, we're killing the people. And then you wonder why they're mad at you. What part of that can't you figure out? But I don't want to get into their politics. I want you to turn around and look at, I want you to step back and look at the world differently, with greater wisdom and understanding than you had at the beginning of this show. Now, the last show, we talked about the fact that the Bible is about government. It's about how you govern yourselves, and how most of you are governed is by governments who exercise authority. Yet Christ said you were not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercised authority one over the other. He also said if you want eternal life, you had to keep the commandments. And one of those commandments is to make no covenants with them nor with their gods. And their gods are the ones that supply you with the benefits. Those are the ones who exercise authority, who rule and judge and make laws for you. And we can go through that in detail over and over again. I mean, we have the audios, we have the videos, we have the books, all for free. But it does cost. It costs you your delusion. I want you to wake up. I want you to start doing what's right. To work at doing, stop trying to preach your doctrine and just do what's right. Just do what's right by your neighbor. Gather together and say, what can we do that's right? How can we serve one another? Not weaken one another. We want to help one another with their burdens, but we don't want to carry them on litters of irresponsibility. Everybody has to come saying, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And you say, well, no, nobody in our congregation needs help. It's not just about your congregation. It's about every other congregation that has not yet formed yet. They have not yet come together. They have not heard the message. Are you the total social welfare of your congregation and community of congregations? No, you aren't. But you could become that. You have to work at it. Sometimes people are asked, you know, you want to join and help us? And they say, oh yeah, well, I like talking with you, but I don't want to do anything. I can't give you any real time. I'm just on here to entertain myself for this evening. Because it's nice to talk about guys who talk about liberty. It doesn't work that way, folks. You know, Christ didn't say in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, I really don't have time for all this. You know, I was going to go hang out with Mary Magdalene and we were going to catch a movie. You know, and, you know, I got some other projects going that I need to take care of. This whole crucifixion thing, that's a drag. I don't think I'm going to do that. That's not the way Christ approached it. That will be done. Can you do that? Can you say that will be done? Can you go the ways of Christ? Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we aren't even on hard times yet. We're coming to hard times. Can we come together and really sacrifice? Yeah, but what's in it for me? Forget it. If you're going to ask that, you're on your own. You haven't even heard what I'm talking about yet. The kingdom of heaven's not in you. Because Christ didn't say, what's in it for me, Lord? He did the hard job. You don't have that hard a job. You know, when Peter said, you know, he would follow him, he says, you don't know what you ask. He found out. You know, we have, those of us who are beginning to see the kingdom of God, we have received a gift. We may have to pay for that. We can't pay the full price, but we may have to pay. Christ paid the full price, but Peter had to pay. He did it willingly. He went back and did it willingly. Are you willing to go back and do it willingly, to serve, to sacrifice yourself? How much are you willing to sacrifice? How difficult are you willing to let it become for you so that others may benefit and hear the gospel of the kingdom? Do you want just your little comfortable congregation? We got our congregation. The heck with the rest of you. God will say the same to you. I already have my angels. The heck with the rest of you. Because as you judge, so shall ye be judged. Matthew 28:5, it says, "And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is sacrificed, which is crucified. Fear not, because you seek Jesus. You seek the ways of Jesus. You seek the purpose of Jesus. But if that's not what you're seeking, well, then you might as well go ahead and fear, because you have something to be afraid of. Mark 2:10. But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick and of the palsy. That ye may know that he has power. You should have that power. Greater things than these you shall also do. Why don't you have that power? Because you have not been striving and seeking his ways. You have been lied to by an apostate church who has deceived you about what Christ said to do. Not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do it the will of Father. Those who don't do it will not be given the grace. Not be given the gifts. He says, go and cry unto the others, that you, gods that you have chosen. And you have chosen many of them. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? You don't live by faith. All you people say, oh, we believe in Jesus. And we go to church and we... Do you believe in Jesus? Do you really believe in Jesus? Do you believe in what he said? If you want eternal life, you have to keep the commandments. Oh, no, you don't have to keep the commandments. You just have to believe in Jesus. But Jesus said you have to keep the commandments. Oh, but he was talking about the Old Testament. That was before he was crucified. How much gymnastics is there going to be in your thinking to avoid the simple fact that God's not going to bring you into heaven unless it is written on your heart to obey the commandments? And if it is written on your heart to obey the commandments, you cannot keep yourself from obeying them. I was talking to a fellow the other day. It was kind of funny. He was talking about those old Coke machines. I'll give you a little break. I won't keep beating you up. He was talking about those old Coke machines where the Cokes are all, the pops all lined up in these little grooves. And then you would put in your money and slide it over and you'd pull it out to the dispenser. He says, if you had a pop bottle, you could actually pop the top off the lids of those pop machines and stick a straw down in there and get pop. And I said, no, I couldn't. He said, yeah, all you do is pop the lid off and put a straw down in there. He says, no, well, I couldn't do that. Because that would be dishonest. I would feel too guilty. And he says, oh, yeah, well, yeah, that's true, but I did all that before I was saved. But I got a lot of good pop out of it. It reminds me of the scene in, what is it, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where the guy goes down and gets baptized, and he says that all my sins are forgiven me. And they've been washed away. That's when I robbed that Piggly Wiggly, that's all washed away. He says, wait a minute, you told us you didn't rob the Piggly Wiggly. Oh, yeah, I lied about that. But that sin's forgiven too. I got a get out of jail card for free. You want to believe that? Go right ahead. You think water has washed away those sins because you say you accepted Jesus. Maybe you're lying about that too. Maybe you haven't accepted Jesus. You just want to think you have, and you have constructed the idea that you have accepted Jesus, and you don't actually know who he is, and you're still a worker of iniquity, and your baptism is a lie, your salvation is a lie, and you are not a part of the kingdom in any way, shape, or form. And in fact, you are a worker of iniquity, fighting against the kingdom, fighting against Christ, being the Antichrist, and you can't figure it out because you're a zombie. You want to devour your neighbor. You want to devour the people round about you. You want to eat them because you have no life of your own, because the kingdom of heaven is not within you. See, I come back and beat you up again. The little story about the pot machine, I lulled you into a false sense of security that I wasn't going to rebuke you. As many as I love, I also rebuke. But the good news is you can turn around. You can change. But you have to actually start taking steps. You have to actually start gathering together with the intention of taking care of one another and becoming the entire social welfare, the entire Medicare of your congregation and congregation of congregations in tens, hundreds, and thousands. You have to come together and actually seek to do that. You're not going to do that overnight. I remember when my son learned to walk, my oldest son learned to walk. He didn't walk 14 months. He wasn't walking yet. And all of a sudden, one day, he just decided, he'd seen this other little kid live next door, and they were walking. He couldn't keep up with them. And he decided, I'm going to learn to walk. One day, he just fell down, fell asleep in the same spot, just fell asleep right there, just exhausted. When I came home for lunch, he was laying on the floor asleep. He's been trying to get up all day and walk. Just decided, I'm going to walk. Today, I'm going to walk. Kept falling down. And then finally, when I came home from work, his mother said, well, show Daddy. And so he walked over to me. Walked across the room with his hands up in the air and walked over to me. I put out my hands to pick him up. He just turned around and walked away with a big grin on his face. Didn't need to be carried anymore. I can walk. One day, he just decided to walk. That's the way he did it. Yeah, he didn't even crawl. He never crawled. He just rolled around where he wanted to go. He just rolled over to the next spot and rolled over to the next spot. And that's the way he got. We had a small apartment. But when he decided to walk, he walked that same day. Well, give you a little insight into my character. Is that we, it was still daylight out, so we went out to the river where there was this nice grassy, smooth grassy bank, but it was sloped. And I set him down, and I set him on the slope, and he had to learn to walk on a slope. And he fell down, and he got up, and he fell down, and he got up. Because he had learned to walk on flat ground. When it got to be a slope, it wasn't so easy anymore. It took a little bit of the wind out, but he learned how to walk on a slope. I don't know, he's probably about 6'5 now, and he can walk real good. But the fact is, that's what life is all about. You have to decide and start taking steps to walk. You can't just think about walking. You can't just believe that you can walk. You have to actually start walking. The prodigal son had to turn around and start heading back to his father's house with the intent of being a servant. Are you willing to do that? Because if you're just going to be sorry and get dunked in water, you're just all wet when you come out of that water. And probably considerably self-deceived. Because you think all your sins are washed away. Because you said, Lord, Lord. But then when you go out in the world, you don't do with what he says. You do with whatever you darn well please. You don't do with what God is pleased by. And so your sin remains. Because you say you believe, but you don't do it the will of the Father. All those quotes, that I talked to you about before in the last show. Not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do it the will of the Father, and those who don't do it the will of the Father. They should be counted as foolish men. I mean, you can read this over and over again. In Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. If you're not doing the will of the Father, which includes not coveting your neighbor's goods, to the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other, then you're not his brother, you're not his sister, you're not his mother, you're not his friend. I mean, Matthew 6:2-3, and Matthew 8:9, and Matthew 21:28-31, Matthew 18:23-35, just goes on and on. It's all in the book, Thy Kingdom Comes. And there's so many more I haven't even added yet. We can go down to Luke 6:31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Why don't zombies eat zombies in the movies? Because zombies are already dead. They have to eat something that's alive. They're looking for you. If you start to repent, they're looking for you. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit because zombies can't swallow that. They're looking for all those people who are really down in their spirits like them. And they want to make you zombies too. And they're going to make it, and they already have made it, so that you cannot live in their society unless you join the zombie club. You have to become a devourer too of widows and orphans and needy of your society. You have to become a part of that system that forces the neighbors to contribute. You have to join the zombie club. You have to get numbered in the zombie club. And eat one another. And devour one another. And devour your children in the future with debt. Yeah, the quotes I have about that right out of the Bible about eating your children. That's what you're doing. Trying to avoid the fiscal cliff, and they cut $38 worth of spending out of the normal budget of an individual, and they think that they're going to continue to overspend by trillions of dollars and run you farther and farther into debt. They are devouring your children with that debt. How do you're going to vote again? Oh, let's get out the vote and change this. Let's get out the vote and change this. Let's get out of the vote and change this. You keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. No, you have to do what Christ said. Come together and form an alternative society, an intentional alternative society based on faith, hope, and charity. And it's going to take more than signing a document, taking a pledge. It's about daily sacrifice. As you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. If you will not gather for the benefit of others, why should they gather for your benefit? You know, Luke said it too. Why are you calling me Lord, Lord? In Luke 6:46. And do not the things that I say, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. But you're not doing what he said. You're doing the exact opposite. But all we have to do is believe. Then why did Jesus say, strive to enter at the straight gate? For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Many. You can't just get in by believing. He said strive. He said strive. Write it down. Those that say you don't have to strive. Another place in the Bible that says strive not, but it's a different Greek word. It's not the striving you see there. It means to argue and fight. It doesn't mean to struggle. It means to struggle against one another. Like what you're doing. You send men out with guns to collect. Remember in church when they used to have those baskets? No, some churches use a plate they passed along, some baskets. Sometimes they had these ushers that would have the baskets on the big long poles and they would reach them out in front of you. Well, that's not the way you collect for your needy. You send men out with guns. You live by the sword. And God is taking note. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. What do zombies hate? Vampires really hate the light, but in some of the shows they have the zombies hating the light. They come out at night in the dark. That's when they really like to come out. They hate the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They don't like to look in the mirror. Isn't that what vampires don't like to look in the mirror? They don't want to see themselves as they are. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. He's willing to see what he's done. Are you willing to see what you have done and what you have become as a nation of people? Are you willing to repent and turn around and do something different? Most of them will not. They do not want to repent. They do not want to change their ways. You don't have to wait till they change their ways. You just have to change your ways. And you can't change your ways unless you gather together with others who are changing their ways. And that is called church. But that's not what they're doing in your church. What they're doing in your church is lulling you into a delusion, a false sense of salvation, where you don't have to do it the word of the Father. You can just say you believe. It's like the prodigal son. I don't really want to walk all the way back to my father's house, but I will just close my eyes and tap my heels together and believe that I'm headed back to my father's house. It doesn't work that way. You have to take steps. You have to turn faith into action. You can't do enough. Got it. You're not going to earn your way back. Got it. That's what they mean. That's what Paul means. You cannot earn salvation. It's still going to be by grace, but you got to start keeping the commandments. And Paul said, thou shalt not covet. And if you're still coveting your neighbor's goods to the agency of men who call themselves benefactors who exercise authority, then you have not repented. And you do not believe. If you think that's okay to be a part of the unrighteous mammon, then you don't believe. Now, if you realize you shouldn't be a part of that, and you don't want to be a part of that, and you cannot survive without being a part of that, then suffer. But start striving to seek that straight gate that ye may enter into it. Not to save yourself, but to save others. Christ came to save others. Why aren't you coming together to save others? Oh, I got my congregation. I don't want to, I don't want to mess with the other kind. I'm really busy. Not good enough. You got to get busier. You have to put in overtime. You got to stay up till 2:45 and get her done. That's what I do. Well, we'll be back in a little bit, and we'll talk more about what you can do and some of the ideas that we've been coming up for that intentional community based on the character of Christ and the ways of our Father who art in heaven. And we'll be back. Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. Yeah, some of the things that we're doing to create that alternative or intentional community. We're not jumping from the frying pan into the fire. We're not dashing out of Egypt and saying, we're free, we're free. It's very clear that when Israel found itself in the bondage of Egypt, which is where everybody is today in all these countries, they didn't just rush out into the desert. They started to fill each other's water flasks. They started to take care of one another during these famines. It rains on the just and the unjust alike, as I said in the beginning of this series. And it's going to rain on you. And it's going to rain fire and brimstone and hard times and all kinds of difficulties and calamities and diseases and wars and all kinds of things are going to come in every single country. There is no escape to another country. There's an escape to another way. And you have to start finding that way. Don't just save yourself and your family. You're going to have to start gathering together in a community network and an international community network of people, because that is the nature of the kingdom. And right now we can communicate all across the country because there are mechanical means and electronic means in order to do so. We have people traveling around that can meet with you. Huge advantage when these people actually come into physical contact with one another. And some of the people that we may have going around are not as full of the Holy Spirit as they may be in 5 years or 10 years from now or 2 years or next year. But they're seeking the kingdom and you're seeking it. Maybe they only have a denarii's worth of Holy Spirit in their napkin, but they're not just keeping it in their napkin. They're using it. They're spending it. And with that will come more. It's a process. First you learn to walk, then you learn to walk on hills. And then you can learn to walk on water. Now, am I saying that figuratively or literally? Well, it doesn't matter. The point is the principle of the thing. You learn by doing. You don't learn by just thinking and reading and looking at emails. You learn by actually getting out and getting your sleeves rolled up and your hands in the dirt. That's how you learn to garden. That's how you learn to bear fruit. Jesus says, and he rose up and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Faith isn't just an idea. It actually makes a difference. And Christ could do this because Christ was walking in faith. He was serving in faith. He was doing what his Father has asked him to do. If he didn't, he would lose the power. That's why you don't have the power. And they feared exceedingly and said unto another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? How is this possible? We need to take a hard look at the faith that we claim to have. In Mark 7 and 9 it says, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandments of God that ye may keep your own traditions. What was he talking about? What was he talking about there in 7-9 in Mark? For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, whose curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and he suffereth him no more to do aught for his father and his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such things do ye. He was talking about a system of social security set up by the Hasmoneans and Herod, where you were baptized and became a member and were numbered in the temple by the scribes and were guaranteed the benefits of old age pensions and disability pensions at the expense of your community. But it was collected not as free will offerings, but by compulsory offerings determined by the gods which you have chosen, which was your Sanhedrin, your Congress. They say you had to give in this much or that much. And they went out and collected it. And they forced that collection with swords. And it was making the word of God to none effect. It was dividing the community. It was separating the people. It was making them fit to be nothing but subjects of tribute. And that's what's happened to your society. And it will not change unless you change. Unless you turn around and go the other way. It is not what enters into your mouth that really defiles you. It's what's coming out of you. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meat. And he said, That which cometh out of a man is what defiles him. This is the fruit that you bear. And he goes on to say, For from within, out of the heart of men proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries and fornications and murders and theft and covetousness and wickedness and deceit and lasciviousness and evil eye and blasphemy and pride and foolishness. What foolishness? Foolishness of Saul, who said he was going to force a sacrifice of the people. But you all force a sacrifice. You have all become Sauls in your democracies and force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare and sin against God and become those human zombies that wandereth about in service of the beast, devouring who they will. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. But your belief is thoughts, if your actions are not of God. He's talking to the believers in the ways of God. He said that he will not hear your prayers if you go the way of Saul. What Samuel describes in the voice of the people picked Saul to rule. Saul was a great guy. But you say, I want a man who can exercise authority and make things right for me. I do not want to trust in my neighbor. I don't want to set my neighbor free. I want to bind my neighbor to my rulers so that my neighbor has to guarantee my welfare. You know, I don't know how many ways I can tell it, but you tell people that, oh, that, you can't do that. You can't live by faith. You can't live by hope. You can't live by charity. You have to have governments that exercise authority because a lot of people won't give in. I had a number of church ladies say that they wanted to have a health clinic. And I was helping them create that health clinic. And then one day somebody came in and said, you know, we can't do this unless we get it on the tax rolls. And I said, if you want to get it on the tax rolls, I can't help you anymore. Because I can't be a party to forcing my neighbor to contribute. Oh, they got silent. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to go to the men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority. But they still go to the church and they still think they're saved. But they can't see that that is. And now they see the world collapsing around them and they're thinking, why is this happening? We just wanted a healthcare clinic. We didn't want to bankrupt the nation. But see, once you set the precedent that it's okay to take from your neighbor for your personal benefit, then all your neighbors get to think it's okay to take from you for their benefit. And everybody's just taking and taking and taking, and you're in the congregation of taking. instead of the congregation of giving. You didn't want to wait till they chose to give. You didn't have patience. Fortunately, God has more patience than you. You don't live by patience. I can't be patient. I got to have my health clinic. You see, it's just the absolute antithesis of God. And your prayers will not be heard. And when you tell the wind to calm down, it won't calm down. When you say arise and walk, he won't arise and walk. In Luke 5:24, he says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick and the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. In Luke 6:38, he says, give and it shall be given unto you. If you don't give, it will not be given unto you. Now we have preachers that are not coming to serve, but are coming to make you a meal for themselves. And they're telling you the same thing. They're saying, give to me, and God will bless you. I'm not saying give to me. Give to whoever God tells you to give to. But give of your life in righteousness. To strengthen the poor, to raise up those who repent, to make them whole again, to heal them. A different spirit in your contribution will change what the outcome will be. Right now, there's a health care bill that's coming. I guess it's already passed. It's going to be implemented in less than a year. And they may roll back some of it, but it's coming. It's already here. They're already paying for abortions, and you're paying for them. They're going to pay for a lot more things that you don't believe in and don't go along with and you think are immoral, and they're going to make you do it because you have no welfare system separate from theirs. The Amish are exempt. From what I understand, the Good Samaritan people are exempt. Your churches should all be exempt, but your churches are all corporations of the state. But the problem isn't unincorporating. I mean, we can show you how to organize a free church, and that's important. But the problem is that you're not being Christians. You're not being the kings and priests of a nation of people that operate on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. You could come together like a Good Samaritan plan, and we have people working on that. We need more. We need workers, not of iniquity, but of righteousness, that set up a voluntary plan that is not insurance, but mutual assurance of a brotherhood of people. How do you do that? Well, the Good Samaritan people have a plan, but it's not of the kingdom. You need to gather together in those intimate congregations of 10 so that you actually know what's going on, that you have oversight, that you are a part of that oversight, and the minister you pick is a part of that oversight. And he goes and negotiates your bill. They don't just pay it. He goes and negotiates the bill. He doesn't have to pay it at the hospital. He goes and says, what is this bill? Let me look at it. Will you take this amount? And then people give in so that that amount can be paid. But more so, because of the motivation is to serve in righteousness, you will come up with alternative methods of healing, alternative medicine. You will do it on your own. You will have to choose on your own. But you will have people everywhere seeking that alternative, praying daily for that alternative. And you will come up with better solutions, and you will come up eventually as you walk in that way with instantaneous healings. And you won't know where they come from, like the wind just suddenly calming down. And the sickness is suddenly going away. And you will not claim, I have healed so-and-so. You will say, your faith has saved you. Isn't that what Christ always said? Your faith has saved you. Once you understand he was preaching a government like John the Baptist was preaching where those that had shared with those that didn't have by choice, by the perfect law of liberty. Then you start understanding the fullness of the gospel. But as long as you want to be governed by men who exercise authority one over another, as long as you want to move according to those traditions that makes the word of God to none effect, rejecting the commandments of God to not covet the neighbor's goods, you will not know the miracle of his healing. You will be deceived by false healings. And you will be drained. I've told before about how many of these healing programs that you see where guys go and they have big crowds and they get everybody worked up and some people appear to be healed and you say, wow! I can guarantee if you surveyed everybody in that place, you would find that some people slept 10, 12 hours the next day because they were drained of energy. The energy that healed was real, but it did not come from God. It came from the emotional trauma of that gathering. You did not tap into the virtues of Christ. You tapped into a system of vampire, zombie, life-draining emotionalism. You will not see the evil that walks amongst you. They will embrace you. Demons walking in sheep's clothing will embrace you, and you will kiss them, and they will devour you. All these legends. You know, actually, I just read an article the other day about in Bulgaria, they actually found people in their coffin staked down through the heart. From hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, when they put them in the coffin, they staked them down through the heart so that they didn't rise up and become vampires. And they find that all over the place. These fears that we have, these nightmares, these stories, are telling you what is actually going on in the spiritual realm. You've let in werewolves in your churches, and they're devouring your children, devouring the widows and orphans and the houses of widows. How many of them are getting people to contribute way beyond their means, supposedly to do the word of God, while delivering their entire congregation back into the bondage of Egypt because their church is not the social welfare of their society like it was in early America, like it was in the early first century church. They are still sending you to those men that have put you into bondage. Take your sons and daughters. Make their instruments of war. You need to create an intentional community of people that operate by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, with free will offerings alone, where you govern yourselves in righteousness, but you do not want to jump from the frying pan into the fire, into these communities that are not well thought out, that are not based upon the ways of Christ and the ways of Moses. I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care if you're Muslim by birth or by whatever. If you repent and turn around and start actually doing what Christ and Moses and Abraham said to do, build living altars of stone of men of faith that are friends to you because they come to serve. If you will do that, God will put a pillar of fire between you and the pharaohs of the world, and he will stop the wind that will blow upon this planet and knock down every wall you see. When the earth shakes, your feet will be rooted in the rock of faith, and you, or at least your children, will be spared. You will not be destroyed because you are a part of the ways of Christ. This is where you need to be going. This is the kingdom of heaven at hand. It requires that you go the way of the kingdom, the way of Christ. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. You have not seen all these things. You've heard about them, but you can see them. Many will believe and do the will of the Father, because it is written in their hearts, which is where the kingdom begins. But if the kingdom was really in your heart, then it would be in your hands and your feet, and you would walk in his ways. And we have abandoned his ways. And it was prophesied that it would happen, so that we can all see that we are all sinners and that we all must turn around. But that is great, because it gives us the opportunity of learning humility and realizing that we cannot save ourselves. Truly you bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your Father, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. This is, your preachers today have more in common with the Pharisees. Oh, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They say that the kingdom is not at hand, that it's coming in 2,000 years. But the kingdom is at hand, and that's what we were told to preach. But the kingdom is a different form of government. It's a government where you must, for the sake of your spirit, serve one another and govern yourselves according to righteousness. It's not a government where the ministers can rule over you. They cannot exercise authority one over the other. But they are ministers just the same. Your ministers are all down at the county seat in the state capitals and the whatever, you know, provincial offices. Those are the ones you pray to. This is a hard message, but it is a good message. It is a message of hope, because many of you are beginning to turn around. Many of you are starting to gather together, at least contemplating, taking those steps up and fall down, up and fall down, up and fall down, like my son when he learned to walk. And occasionally I come home for lunch and find you sleeping. Like my son, sleeping on the floor where he had got up and fell down. I did not wake him. I let him rest. But he eventually woke and got up and fell down and got up and fell down until he could walk. And when you can do that, God will take you out on the hillside too and see if you can learn to walk on the hillside when the hill is steep, and he will take you to the rocky ground, and he will take you to places where it is sandy and difficult to walk, and your legs will get stronger. And you will learn to walk in the ways of the kingdom. But you must seek to stand up in the ways of the kingdom. And that means you need to seek to stand together in the ways of the kingdom. That means you have to come together and become the social welfare system of your congregation, and then of your congregations of congregations. And if you do not do that, then you are doing nothing in the name of the Father. You are not following in his ways, and he will not hear your prayers. And when the winds come, they will continue to blow. And when famine comes, he will not fill your grain bowl, and you and all your children will die. But don't come because of fear. Come because of righteousness. Don't come because it makes you feel good. Come because it is the opportunity to serve God by serving one another. Until we meet again, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.